surely, Sheikh, then anyone who's giving a human being Allah's attribute, like the in Rafida, Imams know the Allah's secret. And so much so that Prophet has not been given that secret. And none of the angels nor any human being, Al-Fasid. So, if that's the case, that a human being being given Allah's attributes, or the other realm, both then kufr.
Of course, yes. Of course. I was asking about the masses.
Yes.
The masses, as I told you, generally we give this ruling, but individually, yani we can't say that so and so the Rafidi is kafir until the proofs and evidence is given to him.
I mean, scholars, you see them sometimes talking, automatically you know they are asked for Islam.
Huh?
The masses, you know, 100% sure.
I'm telling you, the general ruling is that whoever believes so is kafir. Now, when we come to talk about an individual person from the masses, we say we have to, before we make the clear against him, we have to give him the proofs and evidences. If he reject them, then what else? That's the way that the ulama deal not with Rafida, with anybody. Before we name him kafir as an individual, we have to give him the proofs and evidences.
Different
opinions like Al-Azhar in Egypt.
I mean,
Al-Azhar,
they don't look at the Iranian
as Saudi,
they have a different opinion
of it. La, Al-Azhar
doesn't
have a different opinion. No.
That's also the
Jum'ah. Okay, but you are speaking about an individual, but you are relating it to the institute. An institute is different from an individual. Jum'ah is an individual. He is the head of it, okay, but he's an individual. The institute of Al-Azhar believe that the heads of Iran are kuffar. Or what excuse can they make for Khamenei, or Khomeini? What excuses can they make for them? Unless if it is political things, and that's another thing. We sell our religion for the politics. Now,
if Muslim landed in Saudi Arabia, i.e. Kenya, entering Somalia, or America, entering Afghanistan, or Iraq, they have to fight Islamically under Sharia to fight against them.
Of course, they have the right, but it is obligatory upon them to resist the kuffar if they are able to. But if they are not able to, they are not allowed. Like the Muslims in America during the lifetime of Rasulullah, they came to Rasulullah, they said, they asked him to make dua against the kuffar, and he said, you be patient. Now, so, yes, they have the right, but if they can't, they should not start it until they are able to, because they are going to turn it worse and worse. Worse and worse. And then, but if the kuffar is already in the land of Muslims, that's what they say?
No, they say it's invading. Like the Americans did in Afghanistan, if they come with the intention of changing the people, fighting against terrorism.
Okay. If they came to fight on the Muslim land,
yeah,
of course, the Muslims there is obligated upon them to resist.
The issue is how can we analyze that issue with the issue that we have now, which is Israeli and Palestinian? Is that the same issue? Or?
It is the same issue. Now, the Palestinians and the Israelis, I don't call them the Israelis, I call them the Kurds. They are not Israelis. Even some Yahud scholars say that these are not Israelis, these are Masons. These are Masons found in America and Europe, and they are doing that, but they are not Yahud by the meaning of Yahud. Now these ones having power, that even the whole Muslim countries could not even resist. And you maybe remember in 1963, 1970, and 1948, a lot of war, but they are supported by the Americans, by Britain, by France, by all the rest. So you are fighting against all this rest, which you cannot, and that's why it failed. No. About every Muslim on that land.
In that land only.
In that land only.
So what about a Muslim in another country who wants to rob them?
It's not obligatory about him, and so he has to take permission of two type of people. His ruler and his parents. If his parents did not allow it, he cannot go.
In every circumstance. What if somebody is born on a land, he's not Muslim, converted to Islam, born on a land that is not Islamic?
No, we're talking about Muslim parents and Muslim ruler. Muslim parents and Muslim ruler. But again, we come to today's life. It's not easy like before. You just go to a land and you have to, go to airports and immigrations and borders. It's not that something easy.
Chef, an hour. We'll
take a break.
Yes. Should we take a break, or do you want to have written questions now?
I'll take written questions now. Yeah. I still have one. I didn't finish. Write the questions, please. So, because verbal, it will take long time.
Yeah.
Right. The last turning away from the deen, not learning it, not acting upon it. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Sajda, Ayah 22. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ. Who is more aggressive than the one who been given the verses and the ayat of Allah, of his Lord, but he turns away from them? Verily, we are going to revenge from the criminals. Allah Ta'ala called them criminals. So you have the knowledge, you are not our knowledge of Tawheed. You hear that in this verse there is a class of Tawheed. Why we say no, I don't want to talk to you. And you commit any shirk, you are not excused. Oh, I'm ignorant, but you had the chance to come and learn, but you refuse. Now, or someone has the knowledge and acts upon the opposite of it, oppose it, that's also haram. These are the 10 nullifiers of La ilaha illallah. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. So we have any questions, written questions? Right. Make it written.
Do you have
long cut? Yeah, but not now.
So you have to have written questions too, inshallah. Otherwise, you get weaknesses.
You want to finish your papers?
Yeah, they can.
as well. It says here, you want to read
Hamid Karzai is helping America. So should we obey Hamid Karzai and help them? Is that the question? Hamid Karzai is helping America. Don't forget the question should be on topic of Tawheed. It's very important. So the question should be on topic of the rain. So I think we will disallow
the questions with the names. I really don't allow them.
There's two. Can I just make two things clear, inshallah? Yeah. One is that when we are asking questions, we are asking questions to learn. That's the simple thing. Question to make a point scoring or anything like that. So, well, so inshallah, make that further in mind.
Mm-hmm. Let me take that question, if you don't mind. I got it. Don't look to who put him, but look to the output. If it is Islam, I take it and say, alhamdulillah. You can understand, alhamdulillah. If it is kufr, then ask about it.
Okay, question, the correct method of witr prayer, number one. Number two, Al-Quran, Surah 33, verse 50.
What is that? Surah 33, verse 50. I can't remember Quran this way.
If you get the Quran out and actually state the surah, name of the surah, and the verse, and also it's a surah 4, verse 23-25. Okay. So we'll have to look at that. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari, placing the hands on chest while praying. So, the question, there's a statement, I think the question is it correct or something?
Mm-hmm.
And correct method of witr prayer.
Number of questions in this. The correct method of witr is to pray the witr itself. The witr itself, not the night prayers. Either one rak'ah, that's the minimum, and the perfect is three rak'ahs. Two and then one. But if you pray them together, three rak'at in row, you can sit only once at the end. You can sit only once at the end, not like Salat al-Maghrib. No, I'm all right.
Allah said that most of the Muslims commit shirk. And why?
No, Allah didn't say that. Allah said, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Allah Ta'ala did not say that Muslims commit shirk. Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. That is, in regard to those who say that they believe in Allah, but at the same time, they give some worships to other than Allah, like slaughtering, like vowing, like dua, they call other than Allah as shirk, while they are learning Muslims. when they are Muslims praying, saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, يعني they say Ashhadu in the Mu'addin, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then after the Adhan he goes to the grave of the Wali, ya Wali, where is Ashhadu an la ilaha? In the Salah, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, you alone, we worship you alone, we seek help from, and then after that they go, ya Wali, we need help. Were they honest?
Allah Ustaz.
No.
Is the person who believes that the Prophet is alive a kafir?
Is
the person who believes that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive a kafir?
Is it?
Alive.
Is it still alive?
No.
Wallah, he's rejecting the Quran. He's rejecting the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّا مَيِّتٌ. How come he believes that he is still alive? And if he is still alive, how come he hides himself from us, he doesn't talk to us? Or he doesn't show us where he is, so we go to him? Why? Yani, I don't know this kind of silly things. How come he be alive and he doesn't, yani, show us where he is, so he tell us what to do in the nowadays affairs? We have a problem now in Somalia, isn't it? We need an advice from whom we seek. We don't seek from the ulama if the Prophet is alive. We'll go to the Prophet. Why don't we go to the ulama? We go to the Prophet. And he said that the ulama are inheritors of Rasulullah. Inheritors be found anywhere. Isn't it? And who did they bury? And who's that grave there in Medina? I don't know what this field. They say, no, he's alive in his grave. I say, yes, he's alive. Fir'aun is alive in his grave. But it is a different life. A different life. Mankind, the Akhwan, goes in has four different lives. One called life of womb. Life of womb. You don't know nothing, you don't do nothing. No reward, no sin. Life of this worldly life. Sorry, in the womb, you did not eat, you did not drink, you did not enjoy, you did not refuse, you did not, right? Here, in this life, you eat, you drink, you enjoy, you refuse, you accept, right? The life of grave is another place where you don't accept, you don't enjoy, you don't, you know? That life is similar to the womb life, but in the womb life there is no, as they say, joy or punishment. But in the grave, there is either joy or punishment. In this worldly life, you either have joy or have some type of pain, right? In this world. In this worldly life, you have, the Muslim have, has peace and ease and joy. And at the same time, he can have pain, right? Any one of you never had pain? If one please come, I have a needle, I will just want to show him what is pain. Okay. Kuffar. Do they have pain? Yes. Do they have joy? Yes. This is the life here. In the grave, it is either joy or punishment. That's it. Now, can they move? Can they move their one? No. Then we have the fourth life, which is the hereafter. And the hereafter is either life of joy in the Jannah or life of punishment in the fire. These are four different lives. They say he is alive because he said that Allah Ta'ala assigned angels to around whenever anybody says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah restore my life and I give salam back to him. to say, Akhwan, let me ask you, Akhwan. If we say that we take your soul and restore it, take it and restore it, take it and restore it, take it, is this something good or bad? Huh? Bad, isn't it? Pain, huh? Ya Akhi, Rasulullah is the most beloved one to Allah. What does that mean? It means that Allah Ta'ala restored it in a special way. How? See how million people in the world today say in different times, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this means, this will either mean that the soul is not taken out because it is, yani every second there is someone who is saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the world. Or it is going off, like that, so fast, which is. So we say that type of life, Allahu A'lam bih. Allah is the only one who knows about how it is. We cannot interfere in that and try to describe it. Oh, he's alive like this life. Nah, that's wrong. That's wrong. And I can't say that he's kafir who said that, but I say he is either jahil, ignorant, or that he is mad, majnoon. One or two. Allah.
Okay. This one. Is it classified as ignorance if a person calls upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he's built just because everyone in his village does? So they just follow the people in their village?
No. We should not follow the others if we can yani do research and reach the haq. But if you can't, then that's your ability. Allah Ta'ala said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask no one to do what is beyond his ability. So if it is from your ability to go and know the haq, but because of my people will be angry, then you have sold your Lord for your people. Allah.
In the grave, is the believer asked more than three questions in the grave? Could you inform us of the reward?
No, the Prophet ﷺ said three questions, and he mentioned, he said, and this believer. All are going to be asked only three questions. Only three questions. But don't think that, Allah, I know them. Who is in the world? Allah. No, no, no. If you do not, if you do not act upon it today, wallahi, you are not going to be able to answer tomorrow. No.
This one from the sisters. Basically, hijab, we have to cover up the whole body, but can you open the face or hands from sister?
To the opinion we take, no, you can't uncover the face. Hands, no problem. But the face, no. Simply because, why you are told to cover your hair? Huh? Now, is the beauty in hair more than the face? I'm wondering. I cover the head and the hair because to hide the beauty from a stranger men. But face, yani, must not be uncovered. It's optional. No, it's not optional. It is obligatory. It is obligatory to cover you.
Okay, shirk means to eat others with Allah. Some people hang Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the womb. Is this shirk?
No, it is not shirk, but it is a mistake. It's a mistake. Unless they intend to say that he is Muhammad. Muhammad is Allah and Allah. But they don't, usually they don't mean that. And that's why they say Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can they mean that Muhammad is Allah if they say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But it is wrong. Nothing to be hung of the Quran or the Adkar. Rasulullah sallallahu did not hang the Quran even on the Kaaba. He did not hang. Neither inside nor outside. Quran and Adkar not to be hung. To be yani, memorized, recite it, that's the way. But to beautify your house or even the masjid, If in the masjid, to beautify the masjid by hanging signs or writing on the walls, Allah, Muhammad, or ayat, or adhkar, or the names of Allah, or whatsoever, this is not from the sunnah. And let's go about it. We are trying to be among the way of Rasulullah or not? Okay. We say, Ya Akhwan, there is a principle to the ulama of Sharia. They say, whatsoever was possible to happen or to be found during the lifetime of Rasulullah and he did not do it, then doing it is a bid'ah. You got this, Akhwan? Whatsoever could happen or found during lifetime of Rasulullah but he didn't do it, it is not known from their time, then doing it is a bid'ah.
Yeah,
we're talking about worship. No, 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 we're talking about worship. Now, the masjid, come or not? You all sure that there was a masjid?
Yes.
Of course. Who told us masjid? Who told us to, yani, build masjid? Masjid, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Masjid Quba, etc. Five. Any way we can find that he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hung or wrote on the wall Ayatul Kursi or Fatiha or whatsoever, or Allah, Allah, Allah. Even what you see in the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid al-Haram, this is wrong, this is not from the Sunnah. This is not from the Sunnah. And we hope that inshallah they remove it. But it is not from the Sunnah, even if it is in Masjid al-Nabawi or Masjid al-Haram. Even the Quran written on the Kaaba, that is not from the Sunnah. Not from the Sunnah. Even what you see in the cars, some ayat or like that, hang or stick, that is not from the Sunnah. All of this wrong. All of this wrong. The Prophet ﷺ only told the Sahaba to recite the Quran and he allowed them to write it. So we stick to that. Not to hang it on the walls or hang Allah, Muhammad. This came from where? From the Kuffar. The Kuffar in their churches, they write Jesus, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They write that. Muslims saw and did. That's wrong, ya Akhwan. We are the best. We don't follow them. They should follow us. Not the other way. Allah.
This one says, as far as I know in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah gives mercy to those who are in the dunya. Is this in regards to the whole of
mercy? In Surah Al-Fatiha?
Surah Al-Fatiha, as I said, Allah gives mercy
to... anybody mention mercy in Surah Al-Fatiha?
Things called like the Rahman al-Rahim.
Rahman al-Rahim means he's giving mercy to the people? No, no, it's not correct. This is a misunderstanding. These are two names of Allah. Allah Ta'ala didn't say, I give mercy to all mankind. But he knew something and he had confusion. I know from where the confusion came to him. From on off in the classes. He come on class, he be absent from class. And he gets some information and miss the other. And he then try to combine them. It's not the way of taking knowledge. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, two names of Allah, contain the attribute of Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is the name that indicates His mercy to all creation, to all creation. Even the animals, the mother with the kids like that, this is mercy from Allah. Yeah? The kuffar, the mother and the children, like this is mercy from Allah. Yeah? And Allah Ta'ala bestow mercy on them when they are sick, He cured them. This, Muslims and Kuffar, the same. Ar-Rahim is a special rahmah that Allah Ta'ala bestow on the believers. But what is this mercy? Yani, give them more wealth? La, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best of believers, he was hungry.
He was sick. He was poisoned. He was possessed. But this means Rahman's guidance. He gave them guidance. And he support, he protect them. He protect them. Whenever they ask, whenever anything, he protect them. Now, so this is the meaning of it. It does not mean that, oh, Allah is having mercy with all by the understanding of mercy. No, mercy here means this, as we explained. Okay. Now, wallahi.
Okay, is it permissible to swear by Allah sifat? If so, then which ones?
Yes, it is permissible to swear by Allah sifat. As you say, wa izzati Allah in the hadith. He said wa izzati Allah wa qudrati Allah. But it is better to swear by the names of Allah. Wallahi, billahi, tallahi, like that. Allah.
Is it obligatory to
Ta'afun? Because the attributes of Allah are not created. You are not allowed to swear by anything which is created. The attributes of Allah are not created. The attributes of Allah is not to find. This is his attribute. Now,
is it obligatory to, in your prayers such as Dhuhr and Asr, to recite in the mind with Tajweed?
No, Tajweed is not obligatory. Tajweed is not obligatory, but it is better, recommended. If you know the Tajweed, you recite the Tajweed in Maghrib and any other prayer. But even in Maghrib and this, it's not obligatory. However, it is recommended. More reward for those who recite correctly and beautifully. Wallah.
Just regarding the sifat Allah, we do swear by the face and the word of Allah.
And the what?
You can swear by the face of Allah and the word of Allah.
And the
face and the word of Allah.
The word of Allah? Okay, you swear by the word of Allah. But you don't swear by the Mus'haf.
No, that's what the word of Allah.
You swear by the Quran. You say, well, Quran, okay. But you don't say, I swear by this. And you call it the Mus'haf. Because this is paper and this is creation. But better to swear by Allah.
To pray
sorry. Because the Prophet said, Man kana halifan, fala yahlif illa billah. The Prophet said, whoever is said to swear, then let him swear by Allah.
Is it sunnah to pray Salat al-Tasbih, and how is it prayed?
The ulama have different opinions on that, and it is a long thing. Different opinions on it. I myself do not know exactly if it is permissible or not.
What is the ruling upon a person who does a qibla, wipes over the face after du'a? If he does this always, does he become an innovator?
We don't want to get too deep in that, an innovator, and then we start boycotting him, and then we start it seems that he is someone who is lack of knowledge. We should teach him. It's an innovation too, because wiping over the face after dua, there is no authentic hadith that proves. But we don't want to get too deep in these things. That he say that it is an innovation, and that's enough, inshallah.
This question.
Because the ulama say that it is not necessarily the door of an innovator be an innovator, or the door of a kufr be a kafir. The act might be kufr, but hell might not be kafir. Based on, as we said, the conditions, the availability of the conditions,
of making takfir on him, and the absence of excuses. If he has no any excuse like ignorance, like that, then that's a different thing. لحن الجلي is to change the meaning. To change the meaning. لحن جلي الخفيف is not related to تجويد, but this is related to the meaning. لحن خفي related to تجويد. لحن جلي, like for example, يعني مثلا in سورة الفاتحة, الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. Now, يعني here we have تجويد الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Here there is تجويد نعبد وإياك. See, يعني what happens, possible لحن خفي in small hidden cannot be recognized, does not change the meaning. But when you say, for example, إياك نعبد, that's a لحن جلي, that's changing the meaning from masculine to feminine. Or when you say أنعمت عليهم, this changing the meaning from you to me. I'm the one who bestows the grace on them. That's shirk, kufr. So like this, this is called لحن جلي, this is haram. He might be لا, يعني he might be poor in knowledge, we teach him, but such a person must not need the prayer except for himself.
Okay.
Yeah, I have written questions to me.
How people
say
inshallah, does this change the meaning?
No, it doesn't change the meaning. It's in written. Again, this may be a bit confusing. In saying there is no difference to say inshallah or inshallah, or but in writing, some people write it Hamza, Kasra, Noon, Sheen connected, Alif, as then Hamza. That is wrong. Then they say like this, inshallah. But this insha means construction or building. But inshallah, which means that Allah will, that is in, yani Hamza, Noon, separate, then Sha'a. Because Sha'a is a verb, means he will. Insha is, it's like this is one word. Insha means construction. So who writes it like this, one word, Insha, Insha'Allah, is like saying constructing Allah. Yeah. And that's wrong. That's a mistake.
Okay, this question, based, I think it should be rephrased, but the original question is it okay for the Salafi, Sufi and other groups to work together, like have an Islamic conference together? But I think it should have, instead it should be, why don't they work together? I think that's what the person would say.
I don't know what to say. This strange question. Why don't they work together? How can they work together? One says it is okay to bring whatever Rasulullah s.a.w. didn't know. Still this is okay, that's the Sufi. And the Salafi say, no, we have to stick to the way of Rasulullah. How can they work together? Nafi. We have to make it distinguished. We are followers of Rasulullah s.a.w. We don't accept anyone to innovate in the religion that Rasulullah came with. Not allowed. And we don't cooperate with them. No way.
Where is the ruling of having trousers below the ankle? Is there a difference of opinion?
There is no difference of opinion in regard to the clothes below the ankle. That is haram, because even if there are differences of opinions, what is the value of that? And Rasulullah ﷺ said, whatever is beneath the ankle is in the fire. This is how said it. So it is haram. Haram to extend your clothes below the ankle. But they have different opinions regarding the trousers. Ulama have different opinions on wearing the trousers, not on extending the clothes with the trousers, longi, toe, whatsoever.
below, yani extending it below the ankles, that is haram. That is haram. And the Prophet ﷺ, yani, warned against it, threading that this caused entering the fire. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, I don't see many questions on Tawheed, but I've got one. Now, you see, if you're going to pray, you want to do your Sunnah Salah after, say, Dhuhr Salah, but you don't want to pray in front of him, like where everyone's praying, just see you, but you want to go and pray somewhere. Is that a form of like worrying what people think?
I don't understand the last part of the question.
Okay, basically, rather, like, I finished Salat al-Dhuhr, I want to pay my Sunnah.
Okay.
Rather than pay the Sunnah here, say, for instance, I'll go and pray in that room where
people want to see it.
Yeah. Is that a form of shirk or?
The ulama say, performing the ibadah for people to see you, that is riya. And not performing the ibadah because feeling that is shirk. But hiding the ibadat is from the sunnah. Hiding the ibadat which must not be in gatherings. Now, the sunnah rawatib, which is before and after the obligatory salah, must not be done in the masjid. It should be done in the house. And in the house it is hidden from the people. Right? But if anybody does them in the masjid, we don't say that the salah is not correct. Or this is showing off. Oh, we can't say that. But Rasulullah ﷺ, to encourage people to exercise tawheed, he encouraged them to pray in the houses. And he also said other things. As he said, don't turn your houses to graveyard, where it is forbidden to pray. And pray in your houses so you bring light to it. Well, to move from here to inside, I don't think that people will not see you praying. They still can enter and see you praying. So this type of suspicion or fear, I'm afraid that it leads to shirk. Because you are just going to the other side. Go to the other side. It's permissible to pray here and people see you, no problem. This is not real. This is not showing off. Going there for having more space or not to have people cross you, no problem. But to say, oh, I go there so I hide it, that's not correct. I'm afraid that this is from Shaitan.
I
understand, but when he reaches home, is it still the time of the salah?
No.
Now, he prays in the masjid. Don't let the time go out. Don't let the time pass. Pray even in the masjid, no problem.
But he's working, he cannot do it at work, he's only got a certain amount of time.
Okay, you want to say that he made them up?
No
problem. Rasulullah Sallam did make up some of the du'a.
There are a number of questions which I will replay some of these questions. There are a number of questions here. I think questions can be grouped into an ayah. Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي انعمت عليكم
اذكروا في سورة البقرة يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين.
Does that indicate the Jews are still on Tawheed?
لا it doesn't indicate that they are Abu Tawheed. But Allah Ta'ala is reminding them why? To make them, Allah Ta'ala is calling them, reminding them to make them return to Tawheed, to believe in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Christians
at the lifetime of Rasulullah and even before Rasulullah, they were not Abu al-Tawheed. They were worshipping the worshipping Isa alayhi salam. They were worshipping Isa.
And the
rabbis and the mosques. Even the mosques. Not all of them, some little number of them were. But this little number, like for example, from the Iraqis who came to Islam, Abdullah bin Salam. He wasn't, when he heard the haq, he accepted it. But there were some others stayed on the same beliefs. Those are kuffar. No.
If we are not allowed to be grouped and we should be one ummah, what about the one who follows the scholars but does not refer to himself as a Salafi?
But not refer to?
Himself as a Salafi. In other words, he follows the certain scholars, but he doesn't, he says, I'm a Muslim.
No, it is not the saying, Zekhwan. It's not only saying to say I'm Salafi or not Salafi. The important, the more important is to be abun the to the haq. Sheikh Ibn Baz was called from a town called Artawiyya in Qasim. Someone called him. And he said, Ya Sheikh, I'm in a state where I have three groups around me. One called Ikhwan Muslimin, one called Tabligh, and one called themselves Salafis. Whom should I follow? He said, follow whom is upon the Quran and Sunnah. And then he said, these are people who in some places call themselves Salafis, some places call themselves Ansar al-Sunnah, some call themselves Al-Hadith like in India. But the important thing is, what are they upon? That's the important thing. Many today call Salafi. We have now Salafi Takfiri, Salafi Jihadi, Salafi Ikhwani, Salafi Tafiri, Salafi. What is this?
Salafi
Sufi. Only black, only science to be raised? We have to, yani, if he is Salafi, he must leave all the bid'ah, all the innovations, and come to the way of the Salaf. That's the minimum Salafi. The minimum Salafi is to follow the Salaf. The Salaf are the pious predecessors. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions, their students, the tabi'in, and the likewise, until our day. That is the Salafi, Allah Alaihi.
Okay, if someone has an intention to move out to the land of the Kuffar but dies before they do this, obviously the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever lives amongst the Kuffar, he won't make intercession for them. Does this apply to that person?
No, that person will be given the reward of Hijrah. Because he intended and he tried, but couldn't. Ibn Abbas was from those who could not migrate first. He was a child and his mother, and he was there, and his father wasn't Muslim yet. So they could not leave. They could not leave Mecca. He said that this ayah was descended upon us. Now, and whoever, as Allah Ta'ala said, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, except for those who are weak and they are forced to stay. Then they are not, however, they are going to be given the reward of Hijrah. If their intention was they were honest and sincere and serious, then they are going to be, and they tried, then they are going to be given the reward of Hijrah.
Can you still pray Turaq Salat Alam?
No more any questions.
But entering the masjid, even during should you still pray Tayyat al-Masjid during the times where Salah is impermissible after Fajr Salah, or between Asr and between Asr and Maghrib?
The matter of Tahiyyat al-Masjid is a matter of different opinions amongst the scholars, whether in these times or in other times obligatory or not. Some of the scholars say it is obligatory even and the times when salah is, the option of salah is not allowed, like after Fajr, before Dhuhr, yani once the sun is in the zenith zone, and after, before Maghrib, or after Asr until Maghrib. But some other scholars say it is permissible, even it is permissible to sit without them even in the other times. So there are two different opinions. The best thing to do is pray them, because now the ulama have different opinions. And the best way to come out of this, either you have the knowledge or to take the safest side. Safest side is to do as the Prophet said in the Hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, the lawful things are clear, the unlawful things are clear, in between things are not doubtful. So in this case I say take the safest side. What is the safest side? We look to the issue. This issue, the ulama, some ulama say obligatory and some say optional. What is the ruling of obligatory? It is, or the definition of obligatory, it is what if you do, you'll be rewarded. If you don't, you'll be punished. The optional, if you do, you'll be rewarded. If you don't, you are not going to be punished. Now, which is the safe side now? The ulama saying some obligatory, some saying optional. Which is the safe side? Do it. Isn't it? Do it. Because when you do it, they both agree that you are going to be rewarded. Their conflict comes if you don't do it. One say you are not going to be punished, one say you are going to be punished. So let me get out of this and do it. Now, on the other hand, some ulama say this is haram, and the others say this is makruh. Definition of haram, if you do it you are in sin, if you don't you are rewarded. Definition of makruh, if you do it you are not in sin, if you don't you are rewarded. So they agreed in what? In rewarded. If you don't do the haram you are rewarded, if you don't do the makruh you are rewarded. What is the ikhtilaf? In doing it. If you do it to those scholars, you are in sin. If you do it to these scholars, you are in sin. What is the safe side for me? Not to do it. Is that this means of that one? Yani take it with your cases on that. Allah.
The Rafid are considered kuffar, so we can't pray behind them. Is there any sect of Shiism that we can pray behind?
Well, the Ja'faris at least, Ja'faris and Nusayris and Batinis, Alawis, these are kuffar. These are the major groups of Shia today. Zaydis in Yemen are not considered to be kuffar. If you find other sects of Shia other than this, then tell me so I study their cases. But honestly, I was looking for all this time to see today. Where are the Shia who are not kuffar? I could not reach. They all worship their awliya, they all say that the Quran is not complete, they have another I think 11 or 12 values with their imam who is hidden in the tunnel. I don't know these things. How can this be Islam? Plus that's what they say about Aisha, Abu Bakr, Umar, and majority of the Sahaba, they say they rejected Islam. They are called all kuffar. They call Abu Bakr and Umar idols of Quraysh. And they say that Aisha committed the zina, definite. Allah freed them from that in the Quran, and they still do not accept. And what does that mean? That means that Rasulullah knew, but he kept quiet because he loved Aisha, even if she committed that zina. Astaghfirullah. Rasulullah does that? A'udhu billah.
Okay, so what is the meaning of the verse?
ولا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا. طيب. The meaning of that is you don't abandon the dunya at all. You don't workload, you don't eat, you don't live in the house. No, that's not wanted. If Allah Ta'ala wanted that, He would not create it for us. But don't go far in that. Waste all of your time in instead of seeking knowledge, instead of coming to the mosque. You work to collect more money, to have a better life, and a better life. That's wrong. But, mashallah, you have a degree, and you are given a good salary, and you can have savings to buy a good car. The man was rich, Abd al-Rahman al-Arf was rich, Talha ibn al-Rahman was rich. We used to have a rich, no problem. But they did not abandon the obligations. There is not abundant obligations. And know that this wealth after being collected made them to turn away. Not like some people we know today. When they were common, they mashallah were good coming to the masjid. And then out of sudden, mashallah, they worked in business or something and become rich. They stopped coming to the masjid. Alhamdulillah. What is that? Because you are rich, you didn't come to the masjid. Who make you rich? Allah. Isn't it? But he can't take it from you. He can take. Look to Qarun. Who can be more rich than Qarun? All these billionaires you see today, nothing compared to Qarun. As they said that the keys of the saves that he has, the keys, the middle of the keys, the middle, a number of strong men could not carry it. And you are talking about men during the life of Fir'aun who built the pyramids. See how big rocks they lifted up there. They are very strong. And they could not carry the keys of the saints of Qarun. Where is the one? In his life, Allah Ta'ala buried him with his money in his life. So, it's not haram to be in a nice life. You drive a good car, you live in a good house, but many people here, they want that, so they go to mortgage. That's haram. This is not nasibuka. This is not your share of dunya. Riba is not nasibuka. You are a believer. Riba is not your share. Oh, but I want a good house. Why? He say, "Akhi, my friend, my brother had a good house. How did he get it? Oh, he worked. He has a grocery shop. I said, okay, go to like him. Like him. No. This is a hard job. Okay, what do you want? Easy way. Easy way what? Riba? This is easy way to Jahannam. This is easy way to Jahannam. Akhwa? والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى أصحابه جزاكم الله خير for your listening and the organizer جزاكم الله خير المسجد الشيخ جلال and Kuwait in London and inshallah tomorrow we meet again after door again inshallah after door الله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله